couple of calendar things also. Remember that we December 23rd or 30th here for Christmas break. And also, if ladies, if you still want to sign up for the Engage Conference, there are still spots available, so you can do that in the back of the room today as well if you feel that you want to do that. So, well, good morning. Merry Christmas. I'm just excited to be able to share briefly this morning something that's been on my heart about relationships. We have been kind of going through just different messages in this season of why we really celebrate Christmas, especially as the body of Christ. And this morning, it's my job, it's my pleasure to talk a little bit about celebrating relationship. And as I was thinking about that word, what a loaded word. What a loaded word, relationships. That is a word where so much blessing can come from relationship and so much hurt and pain can come from relationship at the same time. Quite honestly, I know that in this room, there are people who absolutely love the Christmas season, and there are people that maybe they wouldn't say they hate the Christmas season, but they're not fans. And I'm willing to bet that the reason that Christmas is either great to you or much to be desired to you has a lot to do with the status of relationship in your life. Come on, can I be real this morning? I know it's Christmas, but right, we're believers and we get to celebrate what Jesus has done, but before you can celebrate, you have to know what the problem is. And the problem most of the time stems from relationship. I don't care if you think Christmas is too secular. I don't care if you don't even care about that. Most of the time, our reasons for either loving Christmas or hating Christmas have everything to do with where our relationships stand in life. First with Jesus and then with people. 90% of what makes this season fun is being able to celebrate with people, right? It's being able to gather together with family, with friends. That's why we do it. But it kind of comes and goes in waves, doesn't it? I mean, I'll be honest with you, I haven't always enjoyed every season of my life. I enjoy parts, and then there are parts that I wish were different. I can remember Christmas 4.5 years ago. I still had great family, great friends, still love Christmas, but 4.5 years ago, I can tell you I was feeling pretty lonely, right? Because I was in a season of my life where I desperately wanted to be married, right? So I remember sitting around the Christmas tree at my parents' house going, this is all great, Jesus, but you know, it'd be really nice to be celebrating this season with like the love of my life. I think that would just make it that much more special, right? And you know what I was doing that Christmas season? I was praying for my wife to show up, and guess what God did? This Christmas, we're pretty happy. I can tell you 4.5 years later, my house is full of joy. My parents are on cloud 9. They are grandparents. Their oldest is married, and all is right with the world. We have, I mean, right? My house is so decked out with Christmas stuff. I got pictures of my baby girl and the love of my life all over the house. We got first Christmas ornaments. I mean, it's all good. But I'm not naive enough to know that there are seasons that are good and there are seasons where we might be dealing with a little bit of lack in our life. But my encouragement for us this morning is the relationship that is stable, that is steadfast, that gets you through the season, whether it's a great season for you or it's a season where you're wishing and hoping for more, is Jesus. Right? Those are in those seasons when you understand what we're singing about this morning, you'll make it through. So I guess my little plug, my encouragement before I get deeper into this is for all you single people out there that love the lights and love the season, but are hoping for your one and only, it'll happen. It'll happen. See, no matter where you find yourself on the relationship scale, in terms of the satisfaction level. Relationship is always worth fighting for. We never give up on relationship. It's always worth fighting for because I need to tell you this morning, we need relationship with God and we need relationship with people just as much as we need the air that we're breathing right now. We are people created for relationship first with our Creator, and as that relationship is established and secure, it allows us to build relationship with people. I am fascinated by the fact that the Creator of the universe, the God who designed everything to work the way it does, purposefully designed relationship to be the centerpiece of how we function in this world and in eternity. I heard somebody say this week, and I really liked it. They said, relationships are designed by God as a means to take us deeper. Deeper with Him and deeper with people. Relationships are the things that allow us to gain a deeper level of understanding, to gain a deeper level of knowledge, of knowing someone, and a deeper level of enjoyment of God and of each other and of life. So again, relationship is huge, and it's a loaded word, but it's a good word. And this morning, I just felt like I wanted to share what I believe is probably the biggest voice that every one of us has dealt with and probably still deals with to certain levels. This is the one voice I believe that tries to convince us against the worthiness of relationship, and that voice is rejection. I think the most dangerous voice to listen to, and I say it's rejection because we all understand that our enemy has been rejected. He is in a state where he is rejected, and there's no way that he will be unrejected. And so obviously the enemy of God would want to convince us that what God holds so valuable is not valuable to us and actually could hurt us. And it's in those seasons where we're fighting through something or we're contending for something, we're believing for something that's not there yet. In those seasons where we feel lonely and outcast, those are the seasons where it's the most dangerous to listen to the voice of rejection. Because rejection is going to try and convince you that relationship is not worth fighting for, that it's something that you'll never have to the fullest extent that you want it. It's something that as you go deeper with people, don't take the risk because it's only going to lead to pain and regret and hurt again. But I felt compelled this morning to remind us of another R word that is the centerpiece of the gospel. It's the centerpiece of the story that we're celebrating for Christmas. It is what Jesus came for, and that word this morning is reconciliation. Reconciliation is the complete antidote to feelings of rejection and loneliness and hopelessness. Reconciliation is the only way that we are restored in our relationships with God, in our relationships with people. It's all about the unconditional love of a father who said, I am going to take the initiative. I am going to fix this. I am going to deal a death blow to rejection once and for all. For all eternity. That's Christmas. That's Christmas. I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 5. I know it's not a traditional reading of the Christmas story, but this is what the Christmas story is all about. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 20 says, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. This is an amazing verse to me because even the tense of that sentence, God was reconciling the world to himself. Paul is saying this has been his plan from the beginning of time. Jesus, I'm going to deal a death blow to rejection. God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting men's sins against them. Thank you, God. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Woo, that is reconciliation, people. Talk about a loaded word. Come on. Talk about a word that is so much more powerful than rejection, so much more powerful than your loneliness, so much more powerful than your bitterness and your resentment toward people because they've rejected you. The message of Christmas today is reconciliation. God, with his arms open wide, saying, come to me. Come back to me. This is a word that's loaded with all the good stuff. Everything that makes the story of Christmas of any meaning to us all has to do with this. It is the grace of God. It is God's initiation to heal us. It is the mercy of God combined with the justice of God. Only God can do that. Only God can come up with a plan that says, I am going to do what justice demands, but at the same time, I'm going to show unending grace and mercy. This is the glad tidings of great joy that should be for all the people. This is what the hosts of heaven were shouting when they visited the shepherds in the field by night. Yeah. It was glad tidings of great joy to you, because what is the natural response to every human being on the planet when they encounter God first? Fear, trembling, and don't hurt me. But God was saying, oh, don't worry, because the plan's always been reconciliation. Yeah. The plan has always been, I'm going to initiate. I'm going to make the invitation. And the Christmas story is all about an invitation back to grace, back to mercy, to healing, to restoration of relationship, to peace. We are not rejected. We're loved. Merry Christmas. Thank you, Jesus. Little sweet baby in a manger. What's the whole message of that? You are not rejected, humanity. You are loved beyond compare. Come on. For those of you that are still convinced that God is mad at you, I was thinking about this story. How you can't, it's genius. Because God could have sent Jesus to earth in any form, at any age, in any way that he wanted to. Jesus could have shown up as a 30-year-old man with a crown on his head and a staff in his hand and with the book of the law next to him saying, this is how it's going to be from now on because you guys are screwing it up. But how did he show up? He showed up in a manger as a newborn. What is more inviting than a newborn baby? Do you really think God was trying to send a message? Babies are like bug lights to humans. It's like you see a newborn and you just have to go to it. Doesn't matter if it's your kid or not. Doesn't matter if it's your grandkid. If you're a second cousin twice removed, there's a baby here and I am going to break all social and physical boundaries and just be really improper and try to grab this thing because there's so much love in my heart. Right? So please, as a side note, don't be offended when my wife doesn't let you hold our baby. It's nothing against you. We know the magnetism of children. Come on. He showed up in a manger as a baby. And the world came and they were in awe and they were inspired. And their hearts went out to him and God said, this is what I want. I want you to feel safe with me. I want you to feel invited by me. You are loved. You are not rejected. Hallelujah. See, this reconciliation was complete. And it's what allows us to have a fullness of relationship with our Creator. The fact that Jesus, Paul said, took on the sin of the world, all so that we could have relationship with our Father again. See, with complete reconciliation comes fullness of relationship again. It's a covenant. And it's a covenant that wasn't initiated by you or me. It wasn't designed by you or me. This is a covenant that was initiated by God, and it was designed by God, and it's fulfilled by God. It's fulfilled by the faithfulness of God, not yours or my faithfulness. And that's what makes it stand. It's the way relationship works in the kingdom of God. It's about covenant. It's not about conditions. Just let that sink in for a second. It's relationships work in the kingdom of God because they're based on the covenant of a faithful and just and merciful and grace-filled king. It's not based on what we can do or will do or promise to do. Right? Human relationships function that way, but when you start to understand reconciliation in your own heart, the Father toward you, you start to relate even with humanity in a different way. The whole idea of conditional love starts to become repulsive to you, and you say, this is not how it's supposed to work. This is not what takes people deeper. This is not what causes us to enjoy life on a deeper level. It's covenant. We're family here. I hope you know, all of you sitting in this room today, whether you've been here for 50 years or 5 minutes, you are a part of a family. You're a part of a covenant relationship. And there's security in that because no matter what season you're in right now, whether you're feeling lonely or discouraged or bitter, the covenant that God has made with you through his son is what's going to heal your heart. The message of Jesus to me is amazing because it's this message of how mysterious and holy and powerful God is, but how approachable he is at the same time. Paul goes on to say, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors as though God were making his appeal through us. And he says, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That is my charge this morning. This Christmas, be reconciled to God. The invitation is open to you. It's an invitation. It's not something you have to do. It's been done for you. Make the exchange. Exchange the voice of rejection that tells you that you're on the outside with the voice of the Father this morning that says to you, you are my sons, you are my daughters. I sent Jesus for you as a baby so you wouldn't feel threatened. I made sure that the Archangel Gabriel wasn't scary. I made sure that the message was clear. I bring you glad tidings of great joy that should be for all the people. Today, your Savior is born. And for some of you this Christmas, today, as Paul went on to say, today is the day of salvation. Maybe today is the day where your heart finally realizes the truth of what the Christmas story is really all about. Yes. Reconciliation, God's invitation, God's initiation, God's provision for you. Be reconciled to God. Exchange the voice of rejection with the voice of a father. Who says you are loved, you are accepted, I've made a way for you. I'm just reminded of what the shepherds saw and experienced and heard in those fields. They're minding their business, they're tending their sheep. And then in Luke 2:13, the angel shows up and they say, do not be afraid, we bring you glad tidings. On earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. Can you imagine not hearing from God for like 100 years? And then he shows up in the heavenly hosts and the message is, on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. Wow. The message this morning is live in the peace and the favor of God. Yeah. That's how the Father views you. He says, this morning he says to you, peace and favor are with you. Live in that reality. Live in that reality. See, when I realize that I'm at peace with God, I'm not rejected, and I live under the favor of God, I live my life very differently. I live my life very differently with Jesus, and I live my life very differently with people because I realize I'm no longer contending and fighting for acceptance. I realize I already have it, so that whole performance thing and that whole condition thing and the way that I try to do my life, it completely shifts. And I can love people that try to reject me because rejection is no longer a part of my life. It no longer has control because I hear that over and over again in my head. Peace to you on whom God's favor rests. I live in full assurance of faith that I get to experience the fullness of a relationship with Jesus, living in the righteousness and the peace and the joy of the Holy Spirit because Jesus came and did what he had to do for me. Because Jesus, God, through his Son, reconciled me. He reconciled me. And my encouragement today is no matter what season you may be in when it comes to relationships in your life, my challenge, my encouragement is live in the peace and the favor of God. There's an invitation. Live in the righteousness, peace, and joy of the Holy Spirit, not in the discouragement and loneliness and bitterness of the voice of rejection. That voice has no authority in your life anymore when you choose to accept God's invitation. You're loved. You're a part of covenant. It's not going to change. His love is more faithful than our love. Way more. Way, 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 way more. See, a natural outflow of a reconciled relationship with God is deeper connection with others because God's all about people. The closer we get to God, the more love for people comes out. And I'm here to tell you that as I started, no matter how hard the battle gets, never stop contending for a relationship in your life. Never stop contending for deeper relationship with Jesus, and never stop contending for deeper relationship with people, because as you live in the peace and the favor of God and the righteousness, peace, and joy of the Holy Spirit becomes your portion, those things are worth contending for. And it's not going to be as hard. Rejection is a slave. It demands things of you that you cannot do, that you don't have. But know that you have the grace and the favor and the mercy of a God who will give you everything in your time of need. So Jesus, this morning, we thank you for this power-packed little story. The potential that we have in you to just live in the fullness of joy, in the fullness of peace and favor and love, and we thank you for your covenant, that it was a covenant that was designed by you, and it was a covenant that was initiated by you from before time began. And we are so thankful, and we are in awe of a God who lived out this story, who, as we sang about the beginning of this service, the word of God, the promise of God became flesh, became reality in the person of Jesus Christ. And we thank you so much for Jesus today. We thank you that his sacrifice is our antidote to rejection and loneliness and the lie that we're never going to belong. We belong because you made it happen. We thank you that we celebrate not just a season and not just a one-on-one relationship, but we celebrate that you have adopted us as sons and daughters, and we become a part of a family that's so much bigger than just us. And we endeavor, Jesus, this morning to live in the reality of that peace and that favor, and rely in our relationship on the Holy Spirit to be full of the righteousness, peace, and joy that is the kingdom of God. And I just pray for every lonely heart in the room, every broken heart in the room, every heart that is hoping and praying for great future events. We pray your favor and your peace over those situations. I just speak the unconditional love of the Father to hit people like never before today. And I pray that those of us that are contending for future things, we wouldn't get discouraged in the fight. We wouldn't get discouraged in the detour. But we know that it's a covenant that was established long before we were here. And God, who is faithful, will carry it to completion. Every promise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.